Good morning, and welcome to Simply Crypto. It's Saturday, April 27th. On today's show, Senators Warren and Cassidy call for DOJ and DHS action against cryptocurrency-fueled CSAM trade, while BNY Mellon enters BTC ETF markets amid cryptocurrency surge. Plus, the EU expands AML regulation impacting cryptocurrency compliance. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply Crypto. We start off with a disturbing trend emerging at the intersection of cryptocurrency and child exploitation. Senators Elizabeth Warren and Bill Cassidy have sounded the alarm, urging the Department of Justice and Department of Homeland Security to take swift action against the use of digital currencies in the illegal trade of child sexual abuse materials, or CSAM. For more on this developing story, we turn to our Simply Crypto correspondent, Bella. What can you tell us about the senator's concerns?
The senator's letter paints a grim picture. Reports from the Internet Watch Foundation show that the number of websites accepting cryptocurrency as payment for CSAM has more than doubled every year between 2018 and 2022. The pseudonymous nature of digital currencies like Bitcoin has made it increasingly difficult to trace and prosecute perpetrators. Financial watchdogs and analytic firms have also noted a surge in suspicious activities related to child exploitation funded by cryptocurrencies, with over 1,800 unique Bitcoin wallets identified as being involved in such offenses.
This is deeply troubling. What specific actions are the senators calling for from the DOJ and DHS?
Senators Warren and Cassidy are seeking clarity on the scope of the problem and the effectiveness of current strategies. They've posed critical questions to Attorney General Garland and Secretary Mayorkas, inquiring about the DOJ's and DHS's current assessment of cryptocurrency's role in CSAM, the reported increase in the sophistication of these criminal operations, and the unique challenges that digital currencies pose in legal efforts against child exploitation. The senators are advocating for a comprehensive approach that includes updating legal frameworks and improving technological capabilities to better equip law enforcement agencies in their fight against this heinous crime.
It's clear that this issue demands urgent attention and action. Have the DOJ or DHS responded to the senator's letter?
The senators have requested detailed answers from the DOJ and DHS by May 10, 2024. They emphasize the need for a swift response to address the growing threat of cryptocurrency in facilitating the dark trade of child sexual abuse materials. As the use of digital currencies continues to evolve, it's crucial that law enforcement agencies have the tools and resources necessary to combat this criminal activity and protect vulnerable children.
Thank you for that update, Bella. We'll continue to follow this story closely as it develops. The exploitation of children is an unthinkable crime, and the misuse of cryptocurrency to facilitate it is a deeply concerning trend. We hope to see swift and decisive action from the DOJ and DHS in response to Senators Warren and Cassidy's urgent call to combat this issue. On a more positive note for the crypto industry, America's oldest bank, BNY Mellon, has officially entered the Bitcoin ETF market. According to a recent SEC filing, the bank has taken stakes in Bitcoin ETFs managed by BlackRock and Grayscale. This comes on the heels of the SEC approving 11 spot Bitcoin ETFs in January, which drove Bitcoin to a record high of nearly $74,000 in March. For more on this, we're joined by our Simply Crypto correspondent. So what does BNY Mellon's move into Bitcoin ETFs signify for the industry?
This is a huge stamp of approval for Bitcoin and crypto as a legitimate asset class. BNY Mellon is the largest custodian bank in the U.S. with over $40 trillion in assets under custody. So for them to allocate funds to Bitcoin ETFs shows that major traditional financial institutions are getting comfortable with crypto exposure. It's part of a broader trend we're seeing of increased institutional adoption and mainstreaming of Bitcoin investing since the SEC opened the doors to spot ETFs earlier this year.
And it's not just happening in the U.S., right? Other global financial hubs are following suit with crypto ETF approvals.
That's right. The U.S. Bitcoin ETF approvals have set off a domino effect. Hong Kong recently approved Bitcoin and Ethereum spot ETFs, which are set to begin trading at the end of this month. As more and more major markets greenlight crypto ETFs, it increases the liquidity, accessibility, and perceived legitimacy of digital assets among mainstream investors around the world. Crypto is steadily being woven into the fabric of the traditional financial system.
So what impact could all of this have on crypto prices going forward? There's already a lot of bullish sentiment, it seems.
Analysts are predicting a strong run for Bitcoin, with a forecast of reaching over $85,000 by the end of May. The thinking is that these spot ETF launches will continue to drive a lot of fresh capital into Bitcoin. And many are expecting the SEC to also approve a spot Ethereum ETF in the near future, which could really ignite a major rally, since Ethereum hasn't yet surpassed its previous all-time high from the last bull run. So as ETFs continue to proliferate, it could be the catalyst to take the crypto market to the next level.
Fascinating insights. Thanks so much for breaking this down for us. Appreciate you joining us. Moving on to another important development, the European Parliament has voted to adopt a package of laws aimed at strengthening the EU's anti-money laundering and counter-terrorist financing measures, with a particular focus on the cryptocurrency industry. For more on this, we're joined by our correspondent. These new laws seem to be putting a lot more scrutiny on crypto companies in particular. What can you tell us about the enhanced due diligence requirements?
That's right, David. The new regulations will require obliged entities like banks and cryptocurrency asset managers to conduct more thorough checks on their customers' identities and report any suspicious activities to financial intelligence units or other authorities. This represents a significant increase in the level of due diligence being applied to the crypto industry compared to before. The goal is to make it harder for criminals to exploit cryptocurrencies for money laundering or terrorist financing purposes.
And it sounds like the financial intelligence units themselves are also getting some expanded powers under this legislation. What can you tell us about that?
Yes. The FIUs will now have greater ability to analyze transactions and detect potential money laundering or terrorist financing activity. Importantly, they'll also have the power to suspend suspicious transactions while investigations are ongoing. This should help disrupt illicit financial flows. In addition, a new EU-level authority called AMLA is being established in Frankfurt to supervise the implementation of these rules. AMLA will oversee the highest-risk financial entities, step in when national supervision fails, and act as a coordination hub for FIUs across the EU. It will also be responsible for making sure targeted financial sanctions are properly enforced.
Interesting. Now, one aspect of these laws that caught my attention is that they seem to allow for greater public access to beneficial ownership information. Can you explain what that means and why it's significant?
Beneficial ownership refers to the individuals who ultimately own or control a company or asset, even if it's held in someone else's name. Under the new laws, people with a legitimate interest, such as journalists, civil society organizations, and government authorities, will have immediate and free access to beneficial ownership data going back at least 5 years. This is important for transparency because it will make it much harder for criminals to hide their illicit wealth behind complex webs of shell companies and offshore accounts. By shining a light on who really owns what, the EU is hoping to combat financial crime and corruption.
The legislation also seems to introduce some other notable measures, like limits on large cash transactions and extra scrutiny for ultra-high net worth individuals. Can you tell us more about those provisions?
That's right. There will now be an EU-wide limit of 10,000 euros on cash payments, although transactions between private individuals for non-professional purposes are exempt. The goal here is to push more payments into the formal financial system where they can be properly monitored. As for the ultra-wealthy, individuals with total assets of at least 50 million euros, not including their main residence, will face enhanced vigilance from obliged entities. The thinking is that people with such vast resources are at higher risk of being involved in financial crime, even if inadvertently, so extra caution is warranted. Interestingly, the new rules will even apply to top-tier football clubs in the EU, who will have to verify the identity of high-value customers, monitor their transactions, and file suspicious activity reports starting in 2029.
It certainly sounds like a comprehensive package of reforms. In your view, what's the main takeaway from all this? Is the cryptocurrency industry ready for this increased regulatory scrutiny?
Well, David, I think it's clear that the EU is no longer content to let the crypto space remain a regulatory Wild West. By bringing virtual asset service providers firmly into the scope of AML-CFT rules and beefing up supervision, authorities are signaling that crypto will be held to the same standards as traditional finance when it comes to combating illicit activity. Whether the industry is fully prepared for this remains to be seen, but most legitimate players have been moving in this direction for a while now. In fact, some have even welcomed the new rules as a way to boost confidence and mainstream adoption of crypto. Of course, there will undoubtedly be some short-term disruption and compliance costs as companies adapt. But in the long run, a more transparent and well-regulated crypto ecosystem is in everyone's best interest. As one industry executive put it, this takes us a step closer to the safe and reputable crypto industry we all want to see.
Thanks for that insightful analysis. It will certainly be interesting to see how the cryptocurrency industry evolves as these new EU regulations take effect in the coming years. On a related note, the much-anticipated Bitcoin halving event occurred over the weekend, but it seems to have had little impact on the cryptocurrency's price so far. The halving, which happens about every 4 years, is designed to slow the rate at which new Bitcoins are generated. Previous halvings have been associated with price rallies, but this time appears to be different. For more, we're joined by our Simply Crypto correspondent. So what exactly is this halving event, and why was it expected to boost Bitcoin's price?
The Bitcoin halving reduces the reward that Bitcoin miners receive for verifying transactions on the blockchain. It's a key part of Bitcoin's design, meant to limit inflation and maintain scarcity as more Bitcoins are mined over time. In the past, halvings in 2012 and 2016 preceded major Bitcoin bull runs, with prices rising significantly in the 12 to 18 months after each halving. Many expected a similar scenario this time, especially given Bitcoin's strong performance in the lead-up to the event, hitting a new all-time high above $73,000 last month.
But it seems the market had a more muted reaction this time around. What do experts think is behind Bitcoin's lackluster price action post-halving?
Industry insiders point to broader market forces and geopolitical events as the main drivers of Bitcoin's price right now, rather than the halving itself. Tensions between major powers like the US, China, Iran, and Israel can move markets, and it seems Bitcoin is no exception. There's also a growing convergence between crypto trading and traditional financial markets. As more institutional investors get involved in Bitcoin, it starts to trade more like a conventional asset, subject to similar market dynamics and sentiment.
Speaking of institutional involvement, how are regulatory developments impacting the outlook for Bitcoin and other major cryptocurrencies?
Regulatory approval for Bitcoin ETFs in the US has been a major positive catalyst, helping the market recover from previous downturns. The CEO of crypto exchange Bitpanda described it as an institutionalization of Bitcoin. More products like ETFs could open the door for greater institutional adoption and ownership of Bitcoin and other digital assets. However, cryptocurrencies are still a relatively niche asset class overall, with a total market value around $2.5 trillion. Regulators continue to warn about their speculative nature and limited use cases in the real economy so far.
Any final thoughts on what Bitcoin investors should be watching in the near term?
In the coming weeks, the key things to monitor will be geopolitical developments, overall market sentiment, and any further progress on the regulatory front, especially decisions on Ethereum ETFs, which the crypto community is eagerly awaiting. Some are tempering expectations for imminent approval there. But bigger picture, the halving is still an important milestone in Bitcoin's ongoing evolution and maturation as an asset class, even if the market reaction this time was more subdued than in the past.
Thanks for breaking down the latest on the Bitcoin halving and how the narrative is evolving. And with that, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply Crypto. We'll see you back here tomorrow.